Good morning. Today is Tuesday, December the 1st, 334th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, traveling CPA Bill McCauley.
Wow.
It's kind of like a traveling road show.
It is. Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's like going to a circus and seeing the geek in the back or something.
Well, I mean, you went right to that tent, huh?
Yeah. Indeed.
So I'd been asking everybody, turkey or ham for Thanksgiving? But apparently pineapple is on the menu as well?
Pineapple was on the menu, yeah. It's pretty, yeah, not so bad. So, mine was turkey and prime rib and pineapple.
Well, good. We wouldn't want you to have too much fruit when you're out of the area.
Uh-huh.
If you can connect the dots, you know where they were.
Yeah.
And if you can't, well, sorrows to you.
Yeah. Too bad.
Yeah. Our quote today comes from General Douglas MacArthur. Heard this one many different forms over the years. The best luck of all is the luck you make for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess the best tax savings ideas we can generate are those that we make ourselves.
That's dangerous. Yeah. I love ideas. It's great.
There's not a parallel logical line on that one, huh?
No. Well, I always tell clients, I said, look, if you wonder about it, ask about it. Because, you know, whenever I talk to people, it's fascinating what people come up with as ideas. And sometimes they go, well, I don't think I won't be able to deduct this. But what about that? And you start thinking about it and go, okay, well, it's a business expense. Is it ordinary and necessary? You know, that's the basic test. When you look at some businesses and think that's kind of, it might not be typical for all businesses, but it's ordinary. It's an ordinary expense, and it's necessary for that particular business. So anyway, so sometimes creativity can go a long way. Sometimes it can't.
Yeah, sometimes it gets you in trouble, huh?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, we have a full 4 weeks here.
We do.
Before the end of the month and the end of the year. Last time we got together, you were kind of hopeful that there might be a little bit of discussion out of Washington, D.C., that it wasn't going to be a post-Christmas event this year when everything's kind of settled into place. You still have those hopes?
I think it's going to – we still don't have the extender tax legislation, so I don't have any reason to think it's going to be imminent, so – but we've got a lot of clients assuming that the extender legislation that they have been passing every year is going to get passed once again this year. I mean, it's extremely problematic. We've gone over it before, but it's really problematic when the tax law isn't known until the end of the year for the very year you're in. And the idea is sometimes you hear back, well, you should have known we'd extend that. Well, you know, I mean,
you don't have that pipeline quite completed yet, do you?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So what is easier to deal with? Wait till the last minute to try to make maneuvers or make maneuvers now and try to unwind them?
I think that in most cases people have to start making maneuvers. I mean, if you aren't making maneuvers now, you're going to run out of time. So particularly for business tax planning at the end of the year, you know, this last last couple of weeks is really critical.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. So, Bill, what are some of the – let's go with non-business.
Okay.
What are some of the things that we can do now either to delay, defer, reduce the tax burden that we're going to see early next year?
Well, it, there's a number of tactics that may or may not be available to people depending on their tax situation. One of them is if you have the ability to have influence with your employer and you've got a bonus coming and you think that you're otherwise having a really big year as far as income, you may be able to talk to that employer and ask him to push that bonus out to 2016 instead of paying it in December of 2015. So there are some opportunities to control or at least impact the amount of income that a person might receive. So if you have those opportunities available to you and you think there's a reason to do it, and typically the reasons we see to do that are this is a big income year, and you're concerned about creeping into a new tax bracket and having more income taxed at a higher rate, whereas if you took that income next year it would be in a lower tax bracket.
So the tax brackets aren't creeping down, they're pretty much this.
No, there's no real change other than a little inflationary change, but basically there's no change in the tax bracket. So functionally, so people, if you were in the 25% bracket last year and nothing else, and for some reason you've got a substantial bump in income and you're going to be up in the 31% bracket this year, maybe you want to say, hey, I don't want to have any more income if I can avoid it. Or the other side of that is attempting to bunch deductions to try to reduce the income having higher deductions in one year or another. And so, sometimes tax planning is just which year do we want to have this deduction or which year do we want to recognize this income. Sometimes you don't have any choice on the income. It's just, you've got the income coming in. You really don't have any options.
The business is making the call.
And so just say, hey, I've got this income, so now my choices are how do I mitigate my liability with other vehicles, and at this point in the year there are some options. Some of them get a little harder to deal with, but it may be that if you haven't maximized your contributions or deferrals in your retirement plans, and maybe you can do that and have a much smaller check in December and have more go in. So you might want to consider, if you think this is a big income year or you're concerned about tax liability, you may want to consider talking to your employer and seeing if you can push more into your retirement plan, most of us in December, we've got more cash flow demands than we have other times of year because of property taxes that are coming up and holiday spending.
Yeah.
And so those kinds of things. So, you got to be able to make sure it fits within your particular situation. But sometimes, you want to start looking and saying, okay, what can I afford to do? So on the income side, the easiest way would be to either, as we talked about, either to maybe control the timing of a bonus or to increase the amounts going in the retirement plan. And I've known people to basically zero out their wages in December with the idea to defer more into their retirement plan. We've also used that technique sometimes with people to have more withheld in December, because withholding is treated as being paid ratably throughout the year. So sometimes it makes some sense to try to get more withholding in December because we can treat it as if it occurred equally throughout the whole year.
Now, if you bump your deductions or make that adjustment, doesn't it have to hold for a period of time?
No.
Oh, you can do it on one paycheck?
Yes. So you can...
Oh. Did you just hear a scream in the middle of town?
So you could. You could potentially... Let's say, and I'm just picking numbers out. Let's say you got you're worried about your federal tax liability, and you think you need to have another $2,500 in, and you'd like to have it treated as if that payment occurred ratably throughout the year. Well, you could reduce your December 15th paycheck by $2,500 and have that money go into your federal withholding, and that can be really effective in trying to avoid penalties in certain situations. So it depends on the magnitude of the penalty, whether it's really worth, or the potential penalty, whether that's a strategy that's worthwhile. But we do occasionally see that as a means to try to do some year-end planning.
What if there's an inheritance? Is that treated as income? Does that factor into these processes that you're discussing?
Sure. It depends, though. Some amounts a person might receive from an inheritance would be taxable. Probably, in general, most things aren't immediately taxable. When you inherit property, if you inherit an interest in an IRA account, for example, or a retirement account of some kind, the amounts that come out of that account are going to be taxable. So if you have to take a distribution from that account, that's going to be taxable income. Conversely, if you inherit, mom and dad had a big CD and they, and you and your sibling get half of it, most of that is not going to constitute income or create any tax issue. The only difference would be any interest earned on the account after the date of death would be attributable to the individual that inherited the property. So, and there's a myriad of other complications there, but just understand that most, depending on the nature of the asset, if it would have been taxable and mom and dad took it out of the account, it's probably going to be taxable to you. If it's not, it may well not be taxable.
But it probably won't be distributed until the taxes have been taken out anyway, right?
It depends.
Unless it's kept intact.
It depends. Retirement accounts will have, the person will have an opportunity to say, okay, I've got an inherited IRA and I'm going to take this beneficial payment. I'll have an opportunity to have it.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Talk Shop this morning presented by REDEC and by CDH Painting. Bill, as you consider where most of us are in December with the tax indebtedness, and you mentioned deductions. Okay. Is there anything that we really need to pay attention to that we can influence in the next couple weeks before the end of the calendar year?
Yeah, there are some things a person can pay attention to. One of those things is, first of all, you have to know your situation. You have to know, every year itemized my deductions. If that's the case, which I do, but I wasn't really meaning me, but I mean, if a person determines, hey, every year I itemize my deductions.
You always talk yourself into a circle?
I do.
Yeah, okay.
I do. Are you enjoying watching?
Oh, it's the trail that kind of gets boring, but, the activity is quite fun.
Oh, well. So if a person each year itemizes their deductions, then you start looking, saying, okay, what should be the timing of certain payments, and should I start thinking about some other things to try to influence my tax liability? Some deductions can be beneficial, and some can appear to be beneficial but may not be. So you have to be a little bit careful and selective as you're making some of those decisions. For example, if you're an individual who gets into the alternative minimum tax, then maybe having more either prepaying your property taxes or prepaying some state income tax may not benefit you, because the payment of those items is considered a tax preference for alternative minimum tax purposes, which may mean you reduce your ordinary income, your regular tax, but your AMT tax ends up keeping the liability just where it was. So sometimes that may not be beneficial for a person. Almost always, for a person who itemizes regularly, charitable contributions are very tax efficient. So it's one of those things where that deduction typically is not lost due to the alternative minimum tax. Now, if your income is high enough, there's a phase out of itemized deductions. But that's that. We're talking about people with substantial incomes that, probably are not listening to me for their advice here, and probably are spending money getting some planning otherwise.
And those would be non-cash?
They can be. They can be cash or non-cash when we talk about charitable contributions. And that's actually a great point. First of all, the typical thing we do is we say, okay, well, I'm going to send an extra $1,000 to the church or whatever your favorite charity is here at the end, because not, I mean, at the end of the year we have reasons. You know, we just got through Thanksgiving. We had a lot of, most of us have a lot of reasons to sit back and be really very, very thankful. And so as we move through the holidays and Christmas comes, people, you know, there's a generous spirit that tends to evidence itself. And so people tend to make some contributions here at the end of the year. And that's very tax efficient for someone who is already itemizing deductions. The other thing that people can do is non-cash things. And that can happen several ways. One of them is, you know, you can make donations of stuff out of your garage, you know, or, you know, the stuff that's surplus in our houses. And you're limited to the fair market value of those items, and you have to make some form of effort to try to value those contributions. And
would think jewelry would be probably one of the more difficult ones.
Yeah.
Because of the gemstones and the gold and the fluctuations.
Yeah, and that's probably – people tend – jewelry's not very big. People tend to hang on to it. You know, I mean, you just don't see – you know, you tend to see couches. And couches have value. They don't have the same value as when you purchased it, generally, but they hold value. But you tend to see tables and couches and things that people are replacing.
More furniture.
And clothing. You know, I mean, it's the holidays. We get big. You know, we need to get rid of our skinny wardrobe and start thinking about the more roomy stuff. You know, so we do see those kinds of things. And the key is that, you know, once you go over $500 on those types of non-cash contributions, you have to provide more information when you do your tax return. You need to
500 cumulative or per event?
500 in total. So what you would need to do is know the date of who you gave it to, the date of the contribution, an estimate of the fair market value of the goods that were given, a general description of the goods that were given, and you'd be able to claim a deduction for that. The other one that when you talk about non-cash that can be really effective is appreciated assets, securities in particular. So if, let's say you have a stock that you bought 20 years ago, and it's and we're talking about a stock that would be purchased in an after-tax account. We're not talking about money that's in your retirement account right now. We're just talking about, you know, that you bought the stock, and you bought ABC stock and you paid you know, that your cost was $10 a share and now it's worth $50 a share. So you got this $40 of appreciation per share. Well, you could give that stock to most charities will accept that stock, and you will get a deduction at the value of those shares. And the difference between the value of the shares and your cost, that gain that's embedded, you don't have to recognize. So you not only so you don't have to pick up the gain, but you get the deduction for the full value of the share. So it can be a very efficient way of making a contribution to an organization if you have appreciated securities. And you know, I mean, if you stop and thought about it, if someone were to sell those securities, pay the tax on it, and then make the contribution, they'd have far less money to make that contribution.
Hammered.
Right. So it's a win-win from the standpoint of people who are in the right situation.
And the recipient of that, it kind of washes out at the end.
Yeah, what the recipient typically does is they'll go ahead and sell it and recognize and they're a tax-free organization. They don't pay tax on the appreciation, so that there's, you know, it's a nice one, nice deal for the charitable organization. But when you do that, you do have to fill out another form in your tax return and provide some information about that contribution. You need to know who you gave it to, the date of the contribution, the valuation of the securities, the number of shares, et cetera. You have to be able to provide that information.
Now, isn't that stuff that you typically get coming back from whoever the recipient entity is?
Not all that information. The recipient won't necessarily know all that information. They won't know some of the information that would be necessary. But if you have a broker or if you have good records, it shouldn't be any problem to accumulate the data that's necessary. But that's a very, very tax-efficient way of going about making a charitable contribution. So for the right people, and granted that's not all of us, but for a lot of people, that's a relatively good way of doing it.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:42. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning. Final 3 minutes of Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Bill, has there been any movement at all on the business side? If folks are contemplating purchasing a piece of gear, yes, no. If they're contemplating expanding, replacing, I know you had the ordinary and necessary.
Yeah.
Okay, a lot of folks will buy electronics this time of the year. Just do it and make sure that you can handle it as it is, and then if there's a benefit,
yeah, well,
ahead.
I think the problem is we don't know about a couple of provisions of law that allow us to write things off rapidly and get a tax deduction immediately if we get them in here. The point is, I think every year we worry about whether this legislation is going to come through. Every year it has. So my advice to clients is assume it's going to get passed.
Inertia's there.
And if not, we're not going to get the bang for the buck that we were hoping for, but that's the best we can do right now. So I think people need to be – I think the problem is you can't wait. If you needed a piece of radio gear, Brian, how long can you wait to order it?
Right. It's options, not the necessities.
Yeah. And some things, if you need an iPad for your work – well, that's pretty easy to get and have that be available for service, But if it's a transmitter, that's not, you need...
Shipping takes 1 to 2 weeks.
You need to lead time on the order so they can make it and then ship it here, and then you got to get it here, and you have to have it available for service. That doesn't mean you're necessarily using it, but it has to be available. It's supposed to be available for service. So the point is... You got it. There's a lot of.
There's almost a deadline coming up in a week.
Yeah,
for a lot of
businesses. It feels like there's a month left in this year, and so, so the time is short, and we all know this month goes by fast with all the other things that are going on in our lives, so yeah, it's time to take action.
Well, can you imagine the e-commerce guys, the bind that they're in?
No.
Do they release now their later stuff because of the shipping? Or do they wait until Congress makes their move, and then they try to fulfill in that tight window?
It's difficult, and it's really, we could go into the politics of it. It's really pathetic that we don't know what the tax law is for 2015 here, and it's in December of 2015. But that's what we're left with, and that's
Rome wasn't made in a day.
It sure wasn't.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, for Christmas, I know this is kind of boring. Turkey, roast beef, ham.
Ham.
Oh, ham takes the early lead. Thanks for coming by.
All right, thanks.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.